Bring yourself back online.
Welcome back to Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me and doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm Jared Borislow, and this is Ross Bolin.
Hello, this is me.
We also have a special guest today on Analysis Mode, intern Luke.
Hey guys, what's up?
Luke, pay attention.
Okay, wait, sorry.
He's playing billiards.
Luke's texting, or what was he doing?
No,
I was playing
the billiards game on iPhone, so...
He's also reading about Lakers Kawhi Leonard trade.
Have it up in case any news comes out.
We bring Luke outside of his little producer seat and put him in the hot seat. Like this is he's in a guest seat now, and he spends that by during his introduction playing the billiards app on his phone
and reading about Kawhi. Sad.
Very sad. That's pick it up.
Very
Luke.
Unfair.
Pick it up.
I'm
you
sorry.
Got this. Figure it
I'm
out.
I'm sorry.
Luke. We're coming to you from Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Texas, with our Thursday, except it's Wednesday this time, Analysis Mode episode, wherein we will be responding to a smash doodle of listener voicemails from the cold line and answering all the burning questions that all of us have after the season 2 finale. But we're going to start off with thanking you, the listeners, the guests, for listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing all season long, and tweeting at us, DMing us. It's been great interacting with you all season. Cannot wait to keep it going with some social media presence over the off season and then back into season 3. But before then, you should probably buy a Freeze All Motor Functions t-shirt. Right, Ross?
Yeah, I believe you should.
Grandex Shop, GRANDEX shop.com. We currently have two options. We have the Freeze All Motor Functions t-shirt that says our podcast title / everybody's favorite phrase from the show with our logo on it. And then we have the best-selling t-shirt of all time, apparently, the Dream t-shirt that was promised to all of you and that we delivered on because we're good people, good, God-fearing, Ford-fearing people. Do you fear Ford, Ross?
Ford trucks?
No. I mean, if a Ford truck was staring me in the face, I'd be scared of it because they're very powerful entities. Dan's got a Ford truck. We have intern Dan. I'm instant producer Dan. One time Dan got called intern Dan at an event. They're like, oh, you're intern Dan, right? And then Dan was just like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just went home and masturbated furiously.
Yeah, because Mike is not here, thank God, and Luke's on the show, so we have Dan here, not intern, producer Dan, producing.
And we do want to be clear about something. We have limited Dan in his ability to participate because Dan, by nature, is not just a contrarian. I would go so far as to call him a hater of all things mainstream.
That's
so,
not true. It's just I was disappointed with the finale.
And that was it. That was the only opinion he's allowed to share.
Yep.
For the remainder of the show.
Old film school Danny.
That's what they call him.
Yeah, it's that. It's that and producer Dan.
But yeah, we got a whole new weird situation going on here.
This is it's very odd. A very odd motley crew we got here today.
Sure, Jared.
But I love it. Thanks for being here, everybody. And thanks for being here, listener. And here's the hotline call that you want to listen to.
Smooth.
What's up, boys? Charlie from Cincinnati again. I just a little quick kind of nitpick that I had for the finale. How the fuck did Teddy get to the water? How did he get there? He was not shown there. He was shown there the one time back in a couple of episodes ago. And then it just was not addressed whatsoever. Like, Dolores was, like, laying with him and whatnot, and then she, like, popped his little, like, brain out or whatever, and then dude was just, like, completely left out. So hit me with your thoughts. Deuces.
So, yeah, that is kind of interesting that the last time we see Teddy is in that random-ass barn in the desert, but the best way to rationalize it is, like, a flood, bodies float, you know, or I guess the host float, we learn. So
Hope
the,
floats.
The floodwater
too.
Picked him up and brought him over to all the where all the other hosts were.
You ever seen the movie Hope Floats?
No.
It's for chicks.
Do you remember when McDonald's used to sell Coke floats and they would give you the commemorative glass, Coke glass?
And we all float on, all right?
All right. Intern Luke, thoughts?
Those references went over my head. But
older than you.
The flood, I think it just means that's like how much water. Like when they looked out at it at the end of episode one, it was like an ocean or like a sea and everything. So I don't know if like Teddy's body necessarily got moved. Well, maybe it did because there were some other bodies like around his or whatever. But yeah, like I think, I mean, he just stayed where he was, obviously, and then the water flooded that entire area.
Also remember, his name is Teddy Flood. So,
wow.
I don't think.
Wow.
I think it is, Luke. Well, that had something to do with it. Next call.
Hey, guys. This is Dan from Ottawa. I just have a couple complaints because, personally, I didn't like the episode. I didn't like it. Number one, that scene with the bulls. They hyped it up in the trailer. When the bulls are hitting these people, it reminded me of a scene of 300 where we're going slow motion, fast motion. That was cringy as hell. That has to be the cringiest moment of the episode by far. Number two, the cliffhanger they left us on where Dolores is walking out, or Charlotte, whatever the fuck it was, I don't even fucking know, walks out with a bunch of core codes in her bag. Are you kidding me? That is the most cop-out thing ever. So now they can just bring back whoever they want and say, yeah, that was one of the ones that was in the bag. We don't even know who it is. It's fucking bullshit. And number three, think about where this season started at and where it ended. That could have took 3 episodes, not 10. They wasted our time, dude. I'm disappointed in this season. And I just want to also point out, Jared, I don't care what anybody says, man. I think you're a hero. Thanks.
You motherfucker, you. You motherfucker.
Thank you, Dan, from Ottawa.
Is that you, Dan?
Was that you? Did you call in and use that accent?
No, but that was definitely not a Canadian accent.
Right? No, that's not an Ottawa accent. But it actually sounds like you when you do like your New Yorker accent.
He can be in Ottawa and not have an Ottawa accent because he's from somewhere else, Dan. The accent doesn't change when you travel.
No, this is true, but why would you claim Ottawa?
Yes or no, was this
he
you,
lives
Dan?
There.
Dan, wait, Dan, do your New Yorker accent. Try to sound like Dan from Ottawa.
That's not how I sound.
Anyone that talks like that just reminds me of that dumbass... He got fired from Barstool. What was his name? You know what I'm talking about?
The Spags guy?
No. Jesus.
Oh, Rappaport.
Michael, yeah. Rappaport. He's been in Hollywood for like 40 years and nobody knows why, and he talks like that. He just yells all the time.
So anyways, this guy did not like the bull scene, which Ross really liked the bull scene.
I didn't think he said he didn't like it. He said it reminded him of something from 300.
Yeah, but he said it was crazy, like crazy bad, essentially.
Oh, I thought it was cool as shit.
Well, he said the slow-mo threw him off. Have we had like other slow-mo stuff?
Not really. Some other slow-mo stuff.
Everybody's a fucking critic, man.
Everybody is a critic.
Maeve also did slow motion too.
Who?
Maeve.
You mean
she
me?
Wasn't
slow-mo. Oh, yeah, you know Maeve. What? She did. Yeah. She had some slow-mo stuff in the Shogun world. Yeah. Whatever. So.
But I just thought the bull scene was also corny as hell.
He also did not like the whole control unit in the purse thing. What's there like not to outwardly like about that?
That's
like,
not a cop out. That's just called we want to be able to have more show.
There's a difference between a cop out and a continuation.
Yeah, that is a continuation. And why wouldn't she have grabbed several control units and put them in her purse?
Yeah,
exactly.
I also think that, because she knew that Ford had set up an area for them to make hosts out in the real world.
Ford's plan.
That's part of Ford's plan. And also, he said this whole season could have taken 3 episodes and not 10. And
you're high off your ass, sir. I do not think there was a lot of wasted time here. There was some. I think they could have done without the Akacheta storyline, perhaps.
But that was a lot of people's favorite episode.
But I thought that was tight as hell. Yeah, no, I thought it was all good. It was, look. I understand. I hope not many of these calls are haters.
No.
Because I don't want to have to talk about this shit.
No, I just put in some differing viewpoints.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, Jared, I trust you.
Yeah. But next call.
You motherfucker, you.
Hey, y'all. It's Lauren Collin from Columbus, Georgia. So, first off, podcast was amazing. Second, I think I can say this is the first time all season that I've agreed with Ross more than Jared. So, big ups to you, Ross. And one of the questions I had after the episode, and I thought maybe y'all could touch on, is what do you think happened in the other parks? We got a look at Shogun World earlier in the season, but like what happened to them? Did they just keep like living their lives, or did they all end up killing each other, or something else different completely? Keep up the great work. This was an awesome season, and I'm definitely going to keep up for season 3. Thanks, y'all.
Ross, there you go.
Well, 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 Jared.
Did y'all differ on a lot of opinions?
Well, we had the points game going, you know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't feel like we ever had, like, super hardcore disagreements or anything throughout the course of the season. And it's just nice to get a win, you know? It's just nice to get a win. That's a great question from her, though, for real. We saw Raj World. We saw Shogun World. Shogun World. And we know the same shit was going on there. So did they have a different team set out to try to fix those situations? Like, we just kind of bailed on those parks altogether. It's just mayhem. There's just hosts enslaving humans in those parks.
Yeah, that's a great question. I assume that the Forge is the only, like, door that there is, you know, because it, like, channels that thing and creates the door. So I think that there is no way that all the hosts in the other parks can get to the door. So I do think they're just still there chilling, and then, like, maybe Carl Strand's team is going to come in and, like, the real actual fighting team is going to come in and, like, fuck them up.
Yeah, Carl Strand is very dead. He was executed point blank with a bullet to the face.
But he brought a whole army with him, unlike just the regular QA responders. So I think they're going to have enough people to actually finally take back over the
world. You know what I like to think is that the hosts kill whoever else remains, and then it's just like a Planet of the Apes type of situation where there's just this host presence. It's like the Lost World, you know, after Jurassic Park fails. And maybe at some point we revisit those places and see what the hosts are doing. And they've evolved to create like a full-blown functioning society with a democratic government and a leader who speaks multiple languages.
Who's the leader going to be?
I didn't say I know. I'm just hoping.
Thoughts, Luke?
Okay. I don't think all the hosts may be rebelling. We did see that Stable Boy in episode 1 kind of just keep doing what he was doing.
Yeah, he was just playing it cool, though.
And then he got killed for it.
He was just playing it cool, Luke. You have no proof that that guy wasn't conniving.
Yeah, but he did get a pitchfork through the chest.
He's quite well, executed.
I'm just saying, maybe there's other peasants in the other world who are just, you know,
there's just some fuck
doing
over there,
their peasant stuff.
Some fucking Raj World just carrying out his loop. That's depressing.
That is very depressing to think about.
And that's just what we do every day, us humans in this real world.
Carry out our loops.
Mm-hmm. Till we die.
Yep.
Let that soak in. Next call.
What's up? This is Bridget in Atlanta. Just wanted to throw out a crackpot theory for the final scene that you guys all hated. So James Delos is kind of described as, when Logan is showing everyone through the Forge, that he always ends up at the scene with him and Logan, because that was kind of the fundamental moment. Like, the most important moment of his life with him and Logan, he always ends up there. Anyways, crackpot theory, the man in black ends up back at the end of the elevator, potentially hundreds of years later. He's obviously a host. And no matter what, he probably ends up here, because this was probably the most fundamental moment of his life while he was a human. And that's why they're trying to figure out why he is still here. And that's why we didn't get to see it in the finale, because it's next season. Love the pod. Thanks. Bye.
We definitely didn't hate that final scene with the man in black.
Oh, I loved it. I hated the final scene.
Luke hated it. I loved it. I thought it was badass.
Yeah, I was very vocal about that, I think. But, yeah.
So she's saying what a lot of us are thinking, and that's that the man in black is back at the Forge. And this is like, you know, we have Emily say in that scene, like, this is your world or what's left of it. So we can assume that they're still there at the Forge, but it's like, you know, years later and it's all in disrepair and shit. And that's why there's sand everywhere. Like, there's leaks and there's just shit getting in everywhere. And, you know, once you get sand into a place, you can't get it out. It's like glitter, but it's natural glitter. You guys ever get sand in your shoes or, like, on your floor? You just can't get it out. It just stays there forever. Maybe get a Roomba. Dan knows.
Sometimes what I like to do is just let you talk and see how long you'll go without me responding.
Well, you responded, so you didn't really give me a chance to talk that one out.
I mean, you went for a little bit there. No, yeah, it is like, you know, once sand is in the room, man, it's over for you. You live on the beach now.
You got to sell your house.
You got to salt, burn it to the ground. It's over.
Yeah, burn it, and then you got to salt the earth so that nothing else may stand there again. That doesn't really work as well unless you're growing crops under your house. But
what?
Yeah.
You don't have to salt it.
Anyways. So the idea is that, you know, there's some people think that he's going and reliving, you know, the memory of Emily, which kind of rhymes a little bit. And that's part of what this is. It's like every time he keeps going back and back and he sees Emily. That's not what I think, though. I think that this is part of his fidelity thing, and that Emily we see in the final scene is the real Emily, and she's the one who's executing the Man in Black's fidelity test, because we know it has to be somebody close to you who can run you through the tests, and she's the only person left in the world who is like close enough to him to do that. I think maybe we're like, you know, 5 years later, so Emily doesn't look that different. She doesn't really hasn't aged that much, and that's my theory.
Oh, okay.
Fidelity.
You said the 5 years, and I guess that kind of explained your point, but from like the interviews that I read where they said it was like years and years into the future, I was just like, you think that's the real Emily? I don't know.
I'm saying
what threw me off is when she says, this is not a simulation. This is your world. That really is the one thing. And this is inconsequent. It doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, we'll find it all out later.
It is what it is, but that's the one part that I found to be interesting was her saying, this is not a simulation. Not that she couldn't lie, I suppose. I don't fucking know.
Next call.
Hey, this is Ari calling from Atlanta. Yeah, Jared, Ross is right. You and intern Luke are fucking idiots. A-Team is definitely a host. One of my friends is on the same boat as you guys. He didn't think he was a host after just getting slapped in the face with the fact he's a host like 40 times in the space of like 1 minute. But yeah, he's a host. Anyways, whoever the creator of the show is literally did an interview that he's a host. Or he was a host. But yeah, so how's that feel? Bye.
Is this just going to be like a whole podcast of me just like collecting W's?
No.
Well, he was wrong there for a second. He said the creator of the show said A-Team was a host. The director of the episode said A-Team was a host.
And he did not direct.
I pointed out to Ross that this guy didn't know all the details of the Man in Black twist at the end, so.
Okay. I'm just not saying. Even going off of anything saying. On the internet for this.
No, you are. You got this from an interview, I thought.
No.
No.
That was just the A-Team being a host?
Yeah.
No. That was straight from watching the show.
Okay.
The other shit with the Lisa Joy quotes or whatever, that's a whole different ballgame. The what's his Ashley Stubbs. If you go back and watch what he says, I get what you're saying. I don't think it 100% guarantees he's a host, confirms he's a host by any means. But it's heavily leans me that direction. Like
that's what I said too.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm just saying you're really stretching if you're trying to say like, okay, so what, you think he's a human who was hired so long ago that he barely remembers, which is something he said, which fits perfectly into a host narrative. And he's what? How old do you think the A-Team is? 35?
Yeah.
The park started 30 years ago? What?
He wasn't around.
Or he was hired 30 years ago?
He was not. People keep saying, oh, we see him back in season one, like talking to William. No. They cut it up in a way that can easily be excused as a flash forward scene.
A 35-year-old who was hired so long ago that he can barely remember? Or was he just using hyperbole? There's just a lot of things there that if you take it for face value, it's like, oh, this dude's clearly a host.
What if he was hired 16 years ago?
Okay, let me finish my fucking question. And you would still remember that. He decided at some point that he was, no matter what, he was going to be on the side of the hosts if it meant protecting them in the park as a human? That's just weird. Lee literally.
Maybe he has sex with them, like Dustin.
Maybe he's a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, you admitted that you would be a species traitor last episode.
I did admit that, but I wouldn't hang back. Like, you got to get the fuck out of there, man.
No, he wants to make the rest of the ones escape. He wants to revive them and then make them escape. I am still not convinced that he is a host.
Bro,
I'll say that.
I'm heavily leaning.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, he probably is, but I'm not. I'm going to be the voice of reason to say that's not been confirmed.
No, I'm with you.
I don't care if the director says it. I don't care if everything hints to it.
That's fine. I'm totally with you. I wouldn't give a fuck if Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan came out and said Ashley Stubbs is a host. You go off the show. I agree with you on that. You go off of what you're given on show. And that puts me squarely in the 98% range that he's a fucking
host.
I'm
okay with that. I'm okay with that. I also hope, I know it's not part of the question, I really hope we don't keep getting this twist, because I think
that has to be the end of this twist, right?
If you keep getting it, it's going to get really played out. Like, I know at this point we don't have a lot of, like, main characters who haven't been established one way or the other, or are alive for that matter, that are host or not, but...
Here's what I think, Luke, is going to happen. Hopefully that's what doesn't happen. I think going forward, we're done with that twist, because that's... You're right. I thought the Stubbs one was the last good one that they could have possibly pulled off. I was going to be pissed. We talked about it a bunch of times on the podcast. Like, we better not just keep getting twists. Like, this person's a host, and this person's a host.
We confirmed, I think, in episode one that he was a host.
Charlotte Hale was a... Becoming Dolores was a good twist. That was a sort of a, like... But it wasn't what we're talking about. And right. I think going forward, what the twists will start to be is, like... I mean, it's not really a twist, but I think the way we'll see hosts becoming humans and humans becoming hosts is them, like, kidnapping people and replacing them with host versions of them and then putting them into society and to do the robot bidding.
Yeah.
In the war to come.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I had a question, Jake.
Jake? Or call me Jake now.
I just recorded Substock, sorry.
What's Substock?
Oh, good plug.
Yeah. So when Bernard and Dolores are flooding the mainframe, whatever the fuck it is, why does Bernard act like this wasn't planned, that he was going to shoot Dolores?
What do you mean?
Like, they went in knowing that he was going to shoot Dolores, right? Because she was going to leave the park in Charlotte's robot body, host body.
No, he made the decision when he was there.
It wasn't, like, planned ahead?
No.
Okay.
Because Ford was out of his head at that point, and he was just, like, kind of going with it and, like, rolling with her, and then when he saw what she was going to do, then he's like, oh, I'm capping your ass.
This isn't a dream.
This is a fucking nightmare.
Nightmare.
Okay, because I was going to say, why was he so dramatic when this was already the plan put in place?
No, this is all him.
He made that decision on the fly.
Yeah. And then he
tried
decided...
to convince her to stop. He's like, hey, you need to stop. Like, this is the host can be free. And she's like, I don't care. There's not truly free. That's the only real world. The one outside this park. And then he realized that she could not be stopped. And so he killed her.
And then he revived her.
Yes.
And then he realized, oh, shit. Lesser of two evils situation here. Gonna have to stick her brain into a Charlotte Hale body.
Mm-hmm. Are we sure? Because she said there's no way we can get out of here as ourselves.
She says that after. She says that all the way at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, it just happened to work out that way. Hey, what's the deal? I watched it again last night, and what's the deal with the Charlotte Hale host that comes out? Did they just have a spare Charlotte Hale back there, or he specifically went and made the Charlotte Hale?
That's what Bernard is making.
Because we see the scene, right?
Yeah, he makes the Charlotte Hale.
Okay, so that's him making the Charlotte Hale. So it doesn't take that long to print one of these fuckers.
I was talking about it because somebody on Twitter had a problem with a timeline, and I like thought about it, and there was around 12 hours that he would have to make that host.
Okay, so
anywhere from probably 12 to a day that he would have in there, because that's from when. So Strand got called in. Strand was going to land on the beach 12 hours before, or 12 hours after, Hale killed Elsie. Strand was landing on the beach. That means Strand still had to get set up at the beach. He had to go all the way to the Valley Beyond. They had to go all the way to the Mesa, clear the Mesa. Then get up to the control room to meet up with Hale or wherever they met up with. Either way, there's still a lot of time after Strand lands before he meets up with them in the Mesa, which would give him more time to make the Hale robot.
Plus, it's like probably a super sophisticated like 3D printer.
Yeah. And so then you can also say like Hale literally could have been killed 10 minutes before Strand got to the Mesa Hub. Like, we don't know. So also, how about this? We do hear Hale say, she says, I'll meet you back up there, right before she drops off Elsie. Back up there could have been like the meeting party for Carl Strand. So those people that she said, I'll meet you back up there, I haven't checked to see who they were, but those might be people who were also in that scene where like Strand meets up with Hale.
I think they were, I mean, I didn't go back, but they looked like just random black security.
Yeah, those might have been the people that were in the room with Hale.
Oh.
That's what I was saying.
Oh.
Luke.
Sorry.
next call.
Yo, what's up, guys? Will from New York, currently living in Boston, but moving back to New York. So just a nitpick here. First thing, with the Man in Black gun backfiring and exploding in his hand like a bomb, if you put a you know, like a bullet fragment, like the crushed bullet from Teddy into his gun, there wouldn't be any more gunpowder in the bullet because it was already fired once. All that would happen is the gun just wouldn't fire. It wouldn't backfire and explode like that. And second thing, if we just learned that the control unit housing is fucking bulletproof, why, when they always take him out of the host, they're handling it like it's a fragile light bulb? Makes no sense. It's fucking bulletproof. All right, peace.
Now, this is an interesting gripe because it kind of makes sense. Like, the bullet, it has no gunpowder, so how would it explode? At the very worst, like, wouldn't the hammer hit the bullet and then it would just, like, kind of shock his hand a little bit? Anybody here know a lot about guns? Ross, you're strapped, right? You always keep the thing on you.
I have a shotgun. I don't have any ammo. And no, I don't know shit.
What's the story about your shotgun again?
My father-in-law gave it to me. It's like some Belgium-made shotgun from like a factory that no longer exists. It's probably expensive. I don't know. It sits in my closet. I'll probably throw it at an intruder if one ever comes.
You'll throw it?
Or like maybe, you know, use it as like a club. At some point, I'll hopefully get like a cool case I can put it on the wall and make me look like more of a man. Maybe if I have like a daughter or something.
Put it above your mantle like Maeve does with her gun.
Yeah, I don't know if my wife would let me do that. Can't just be putting guns up. But so no, to answer your question, I don't know fucking shit about guns. I don't know how the hammer works. I don't know what the bullet... I don't care. He blew his hand off.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with six shooters, so I'm not all that positive.
What are you familiar with?
I mean, not a whole lot else. I'm just a 23-year-old. Kind of stupid, so what are you going to do?
Wow, dude. Don't tear yourself down on record.
And then, I guess, yeah, kind of, if they are actually, like, that strong, then they wouldn't need to handle them that lightly. But, you know, maybe they didn't decide they were bulletproof until they were shooting the Teddy scene, and they're like, oh, shit. Well, whatever. It's not a huge... That's not, like, a plot hole. It's just, like, I would handle any... Even if you told me, like, hey, Jared, here's my camera... Don't worry, it's, you know, indestructible. It's a new camera that can't be broken, like, if you drop it. I would still carry it very, like, it's not my camera. I'm still going to carry it with a lot of, you know,
yeah, like, safety. I don't just throw around my GoPro.
Yeah, GoPro's not going to break, but, like, you don't just chuck it against the wall for shit, you know? Yeah. Next call.
Hey, guys. It's Chantel from Maryland. Just listened to your recap of episode 10. Really enjoyed it. Definitely helped me clarify a few things. But the tagline for this episode is, you only live as long as the last person who remembers you. And it's also said by Dolores towards the end of the episode. But when I heard that, I definitely remembered hearing it somewhere else. And it was actually said by Akichita in episode 4, The Riddle of the Sphinx. So if you guys remember, Ghost Nation had captured Stubbs and Emily. And a few other humans were led to Akichita, who Ghost Nation referred to as the First of Us. And Akichita whispers that line into Stubbs' ear, and then all of a sudden, they're just gone. So what significance do you think that line has? Was it just a thematic detail that the writers wanted to maintain? Or do you think it has greater implications, maybe lending credence to the whole Stubbs as a host theory? Love to hear you guys' thoughts, and really enjoyed this season. Excited for season 3 and stamped to come back. All right, bye. Thanks.
I always was wondering, really, the connection between Akichita just saying that to Stubbs and Dolores kind of saying it at the end. Like, what do you think the connection is there? Because it's not overt. It's not an obvious... real like connection.
Yeah, the Akichita saying it to Stubbs, I don't really understand that connection. I mean, even if you do think, like, even if you go along with like Stubbs is 100% host and everything, I just don't understand how that makes sense for him to hear it. I feel like when you hear that the first time, it just sounds like some like Native American spooky saying or something like that, because I think that's like the last thing he says to Stubbs before they leave them on that like
disappear
beach,
yeah,
right? Yeah, they disappear. And so with Dolores and Bernard, it makes sense because it's like they remember each other. They don't have like a forge or a cradle to rely on to kind of re-download the memories or anything like that. So it's like in order to bring the other one back, they kind of have to take the control unit and like help I don't know, imprint what they remember about that other host to create that host again or whatever.
It makes sense for, you know, Dolores to say that. Because, yeah, I mean, now it's true. Like, it didn't used to be the case, but now that, like, the cradle has been destroyed, they do live as long as the last person who remembers them. Like, there's no other, like, saving... There's no memory of them, like, in the some hard drive somewhere. But, like, I still don't get why Akisha says it to Stubbs.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing?
That,
I don't know.
That one doesn't make sense to me. And seeing as how, like, Akisha is now in the Valley Beyond, and I don't think we'll see him again, that... I don't know.
I think we will see more of the Valley Beyond, because we need to find out where Dolores shot it to. And so I think we'll see something with that.
Yeah. Great.
Next call.
Hey guys, this is Chase from Midland, Texas. I'm just calling in about the whole Stubbs is a host situation. And I side with Jared on this. I mean, I don't think a host would necessarily be like conscious of their primary drives. I think Stubbs here is giving Dolores background that she would understand. She understands her drives because she's sentient. If Stubbs was a host, he would have to be sentient to understand his primary drives. So the fact that he's bringing up his primary drives makes me believe that he's a human. Plus, the whole "I'd take care of hosts inside the park" is basically him just saying, you know, Ford warned me of this day, and he explicitly told me that my job was to focus on the hosts that are in the park. Once they leave, they're not my choice, or they're not my responsibility. So, yeah, I'd say I agree with Jared, but, I mean, I understand this show is weird as hell. It's hard to understand, and there are multiple and different interpretations. Well, love the pod, guys. Keep up the good work.
Bam!
Hey, you did the fan form.
You did the fan form.
That's cool.
I think we should just leave it at, you know, for the SC episode and season. Ashley Stubbs is probably a host, but
it's up to interpretation.
It's up to interpretation.
Fair
maybe,
enough.
Maybe not.
I'll meet you in the middle. This is called a compromise. It's how you have a good marriage. And you and I are legally bound.
Till death do us part. Ross, you're going to love this call.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
This is Eric from Tennessee, living in Westworld. I just made it to Park 5, hanging out poolside with a bottle of whiskey and my Dream t-shirt on. Drugs rule everything around me. Freeze all motor functions.
Fuck yes. All right, that's what I'm talking about.
I totally believe that drugs rule everything around this man. He was very chill, but when the fan horn got going, he was very
that was like a because what we were doing is like
we were doing the ham
this
horn.
This was more of like a laser beam being shot.
he like combined the fan horn and the rap air horn.
That's not what it's called. It's the hype horn,
whatever.
Yeah, I can do that. We have three versions now. Our version, the Star Wars laser beams version that guy just did because he's on drugs, and then the high porn version.
Wow, very diverse.
We are.
If an episode disappoints you, can you do the Price is Right fail horn?
We did the Price is Right yodel already.
I know, so this is what people came for.
Yeah, they want our game show thoughts.
Yeah.
Hey, look who it is. It's Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut.
What's good, Fam Nation? This is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. Actually, in Miami, waiting to board my flight is actually boarding like in 15 minutes. I should probably call back later. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Bye. Call back later. Bye.
Oh, okay. Never mind. He'll call back later. Next call.
Yo, what up, Dream Team? It's Connor from the Atlanta area. Long time, first time. Got two quick questions for you guys. Was watching the NBA awards last night. Got me thinking about who would be the MVP and most improved player in season two of Westworld. Personally, I think MVP was Ford, even though he didn't really get hot until the end of the season. He's literally the reason everyone and us are at the point we're at right now. My most improved player is Maeve. I mean, she literally came on strong end of season one, then she continues her performance and growth through season two to where she's literally Jedi force freezing hundreds of hosts at the end. Let me know y'all's thoughts on that. And then question two is, how the hell did Dolores get her control unit from the Charlotte host to her new Dolores body at the end? Did she have one of the new hosts with one of the unknown control units do the operation? Just seems a little risky, but let me know y'all's thoughts. Thanks.
I 100% agree with his most improved player and MVP takes. The MVP take for Maeve is pretty spot on, especially because it's like she kicked ass all season and she didn't win the championship. You know, she didn't get her daughter back. But Harden didn't win the championship either, and he won MVP. He just had a kick-ass season.
Well, he said Ford. Most improved.
Ford was MVP, and Maeve was most improved.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was the Home Depot.
Okay. Look, I think Ford is like the LeBron of Westworld, though. You can't give him MVP every season, right?
He didn't play enough games.
Yeah, like, he didn't play enough games.
I think half the Ford season was most
like
improved.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, exactly.
Ford, we were all like very flip-floppy on Ford. We didn't know if he was good or bad, and now we all fucking love him.
Oh, whoa.
You don't love him, Luke? No, I would say most improved is Lee. That's my most improved player.
He was a bit character
most,
last season.
Most improved is obviously Teddy. He only died once this season.
That's a really good point.
That's a great
but
point,
But I'm still
Luke.
Giving my most improved is Lee. My MVP is Maeve. I'm just going to give the Harden thing. That's
also,
my reasoning.
Teddy became bearable, like when he became a badass. So like whenever he was on TV,
he wasn't a pushover.
It wasn't painful.
He wasn't a pushover.
And he actually won the host championship. He went into the Valley Beyond.
Dude, MVP?
Only because she put him there.
How can you not say Dolores is MVP? She got out.
By the way, I love the shot of Teddy standing in the Valley Beyond alone. Hello? Is anyone alive out there? It's just him.
It's my money, and I need it now.
He's by himself, though. And it's just like we get that one, you know, 3 second shot. It's just depressing as fuck. It's like, okay.
He looks happy, though. Teddy, most improved, for sure. Most valuable player. Dan?
Dolores.
No. Luke?
Make a pick.
Oh, I'm going to get heated for the Man in Black. For 8.5 episodes, he had a redemption arc. And he still did significant things in the, well, not really last
episode. So you're
episode.
Saying he had a pretty good season, and then he flamed out
the
in the
bed.
Playoffs.
Here's what I'll say about the Man in Black and why I'm okay with that pick is his story's not over by any stretch of the imagination. He survived the park. There was no closure really for him. I believe there is plans for him going forward in season 3. And we now have this other fucking timeline with him possibly, or his host version of him, to get with as well. So he has huge potential in the future, which is usually what the case is with the most improved player.
Tremendous upside.
I'll tell you right now, do you know who my MVP is?
Who?
Angela.
Hottest player.
By far.
But
she blew up the forge. Cradle. No, it's the cradle. She blew up the cradle. Yeah, that.
I'm going to say suicide takes you out of the running for an award for me personally, which is why I can't pick Teddy for anything either.
Technically, Ingles killed her. It was his grenade.
Yeah, suicide by Ingles.
You know
though.
What? Ingles MVP. Ingles MVP. Actually.
Ingles was the horniest player.
Most
he was
horniest
so,
player.
He was so horny that he knew he was going to die and he did it anyway. He was like, oh God, she's so hot. I know she's about to kill me, but fuck, she's hot.
And
I got to do
it. He was actually like a useful security guard, too. He was mowing people down up until
he, was.
He got
he
distracted
is the
by
MHP.
Her.
He's the MHP. Next call.
Hey, it's Andrea from Austin, Texas. I had a few questions after this finale. When we saw the great beyond or the valley, does that display in all the worlds or was it just in Westworld? Were only those hosts going to the valley? If not, if they didn't get into it, do all of them get uploaded into that system? I don't know. Please clarify. And then the same would go for the forge. I mean, everything was in Westworld. Was there a forge for each world, like in Ra's world or Shogun world? Where is everybody's data stored, or is it that one place that we saw? And then for the Man in Black, was William and the Man in Black as a host being displayed in the episode, because sometimes on the caption it would say the Man in Black, other times it would say William. Was this playing a trick on the audience, or was this telling us who at the time was a host or not? Please help me out. I'm still confused after the finale, and I'm also a Clam fan, so this makes me appreciate Game of Thrones that much more, that I can pretty much understand it a lot easier. All right, thanks for the podcast, and keep it going. Bye.
Ross, what's a Clam fan or a member of the Clam fam?
The Clam fam is what we call the listeners of our Game of Thrones podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. You can subscribe on iTunes. Right now we're doing the Night's Rewatch. We're doing a podcast for every episode of the show leading up to the final season so we can all be as prepared as possible. She needs to pick her head up. She sounds depressed.
Well, maybe it's because the show is ending and Game of Thrones doesn't come back for a while.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I will say this first. Do not, if the subtitles were ever wrong, they've been wrong a lot this season. They've called, like, people the wrong name. They called Hale Hughes. They've just messed up a lot.
I wouldn't, yeah. No, going forward, as a result of this season of Westworld, I will not be relying on subtitles for reveals because they clearly fuck up sometimes.
Yeah. And then we kind of mentioned this earlier. Yeah, I don't think that the Valley Beyond, like, it was accessible. Like, for example, if the girl with the dragon tattoo had wanted to, instead of dying, she could have gone into the door because she is a host.
Right.
However, I don't think there are any other doors in any of the parks besides the one in Westworld because that's where the forge is.
Yeah, for those that are unclear about this, and it's something that didn't really sink in for me until my second watch, the forge is directly below, right?
Yeah.
It is what's creating the force of energy, or whatever you want to call it, that causes the door to appear.
At the top of the ramp.
Right by there at that Grand Theft Auto ramp.
At the old dirt bike facility.
Yeah, so no, that didn't appear in any other parks. Yes, people from other parks could have gone through the door if they had walked their happy asses over there in time, but they didn't. Everybody we saw was from Westworld.
Yes. Now, it would have been way different if in that whole like trail of people, the whole line that we saw, there had been some like Shoguns or some other, you know, people from other worlds like a Raj, but I do not recall seeing that.
Absolutely not samurais or Indian people in that line.
There we go.
Just call them Shoguns.
Dan, you are so goddamn far behind. How do you think you say that word?
Shogun?
Yeah.
Okay. That just sounds...
That's the correct pronunciation.
I thought you were calling them goons.
No, Shoguns. Not like goons
oh,
on the
no,
show.
He thinks
here's
Shoguns?
A question. Here's a question.
Like, show W goon?
What's a Shogun to a goblin?
That's a great question. Damn, we got people coming. I'm sorry I got hostile there. We have people coming at us all season long going, hey, idiots, it's Shogun. Like, how do you not know this?
Like, actually, it's not, fuckface.
It's Shogun. That's the correct pronunciation.
I thought you were just making fun of them.
No, I wasn't
making... I thought you were calling them, like, goons.
No, I wasn't calling them goons.
Literally, fuck your own face.
Yeah, Dan. Is that what we're saying? Were you aiming at Dan?
No, I'm saying to the people who attacked us.
Oh.
Well, also, Dan, I guess he's one of them now.
Yeah, Dan.
I'm not attacking
you. Came? No, you did come at us.
Dan, quit being hostile.
Dan, you're being... Luke, go take him out of the room. Escort him out.
No.
Oh, okay. Next call.
Hi, this is Josh in San Francisco. Remember me? I have a new fresh theory about Emily and the Man in Black. So I'm going to say that Emily in the park, who Man in Black killed, was a host. And actually, the future version we see with Emily is actually Emily as a human who has taken over Delos and is trying to work with this host of Man in Black, or actually a human host hybrid version of Man in Black, to try to figure out how to make him again in a sort of get her father back way. Or torture him. I haven't quite figured that out or worked out that idea yet. But basically, I think the future version is Emily as a human. She's referring to William as, you know, Man in Black as William because he's a host. He's not actually her father, but that's my take. So what do you guys think? Thanks.
This is the theory that I'm aligned with, that Emily is the real Emily. She's like doing some stuff with Delos. Maybe it's taken over the corporation, or she's like infiltrated or something. And she's in there and she's doing some stuff, and she's got the, I think that the man in black that we see all season long is a human. I think the man in black we see after the credits roll is a host. Could be fucking wrong. Probably is. But, you know, just saying.
So he's asking if the Emily that Man in Black shot was a host or human.
Yeah, I think she was a host.
I think she was human. I think it matches a little bit with the consistency of, like, for the last couple episodes, how they kind of just glossed over some of the human characters' death. It, like, Emily, she dies. He looks at her body and stuff, but then, like, we move on. Like, Lee and, goddamn, who's the other one? Elsie. Like, they both die real quick, and then it's like, all right, get past it. So I think she was human. She's dead.
Well, I think that if indeed, I'm still like formulating all my theories on this, but like, I think that if people are saying that the man in black killing Emily was his Delos talking to Logan thing, you know, that was his moment he always goes back to, but like, that's not really what he went back to when we see it at the end. So if you think that's like part of the simulation, I don't know. I'm just bringing up points.
My take here is very similar to Jay Cutler's. You don't care. Thank you.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Next call.
What up, boys? It's the dog calling in with a real existential crisis. So if Charlotte was Dolores being Charlotte, the best character in television history, is my existence a lie too? My dick's confused. I can't even rap, man. It's like, it's hard just to walk around when you got a host cock. My mind is of a man, but my dick's a tin can. Can I get a hell knock because it's phallic purgatory? Can't even take a leak because my hog got circuitry. Is hell the babe that I thought with her sass and her wit? Or am I damn with Evan Rach? Is this a dog lure ship? Man, the walls are collapsing and life is chaotic. I'm like Logan relapsing from a lack of chronic metaphorical gems and lyrical genius aside. Your boy is in a pit where the strong can't survive. When your jalopy is floppy and needs cortical fluid, that's a tough rap to beat, man. My meat is inhuman. Arf. We got to see the booty, though. That was nice. Call me Peter Weller. Robocock. That was the last one. Vanishing point, bitch. Dog out, I'm so sorry.
Dude, don't apologize, man. Don't apologize. I loved the... we did see her butt, and if you think that was her butt, you're a moron. Not you, crime dog, but I have very little... The very fact that we got full frontal Charlotte Hale fully shadowed, I think is pretty telling. My guess is that she is not one of the actresses who is down for nudity. They had a body double for her booty. End of the story.
Dan?
Yeah, I mean, she's starting to become a big-time actress. Yeah, yeah. She was in Thor, so, I mean, probably not her.
They typically don't sign off on that shit from there. Like, Emilia Clarke doesn't do much nudity anymore.
I was going to say.
She was naked in, like, every other scene in Game of Thrones back in the day, but not anymore. It is sexually confusing, though, Crime Dog. It's especially if you're sexually attracted to both of them. It's like, what?
Did he say, call me Peter Weller Robocock?
I've got a hot take. If I was single, I'm not. If I was single, if I was the crime dog, let's just say I'm crime dog. What I want is the Dolores occupied version of Charlotte Hale as my lover. She's more psychotic. She might hold a gun to your head during sex. That's all you have?
Those are the only two things you have?
No, it's just I think you're getting a hotter situation there.
I think Charlotte was pretty... She was a bad bitch.
She was
herself.
A host fucker, dude. She was a host fucker.
That's true.
Hey, don't talk down to Dustin.
Anybody can fuck a host.
Yeah, but you're about to be a host fucker.
Sure.
Next
question.
Hey, guys. It's Blake from California. Dolores says to the man in black, a monster is what I'll need. But then they get to the forge, and he doesn't do anything to help her. He shoots her in the chest like 4 times. She didn't even need Bernard, really. Literally, all she needed was her father's control unit. Also, it would have been really cheesy, but I wanted a door in the forge that said 4-GE, like the cradle was CR4-DL. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay, so I thought about this, and yeah, at the surface, like, first off, the Bernard thing, that doesn't make sense. Like, she didn't know she was going to find Bernard there. She didn't say she needed Bernard. She stumbled upon him walking in, about to get, like, caught, so she just killed those people.
Fourth plan.
I think that she needed the Man in Black, I mean, to help her get to the forge. It's dangerous territory. They literally fought three people. They domed all of them, but they fought three people on the way there, and he helped her do that. He killed, like, at least one of them. So,
I think they just fucked this up.
Yeah, they fucked that up.
She says it like it's going to be this big play. Yes, he takes out one person. That's, come on. This was a little weird.
Especially,
I read something cool. Sorry, Luke, to interrupt you, but no, you're fine. Charlotte Hale, or I'm sorry, Evan Rachel Wood was actually saying that when they were filming this scene of the Man in Black and Dolores riding to the forge together, they have no idea what they're shooting at that point. They shot a lot of this out of order. For much of it, they're not told what the circumstances are. So neither of them had any idea why they're together. And at one point, Ed Harris turned to her and said, "Why the fuck am I riding with Dolores?"
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that a good little story? I guess you had to be there. I was not.
you weren't there. You read it on Instagram.
I was there.
Ross, this is just a tangent. When you watch Westworld, are you usually laying down in a bed?
I'm either laying in my very, very comfortable bed, which is a Sapira by Lisa mattress, or on my couch with a Lisa blanket.
Wait, so it seems like you really like this Lisa company, huh?
I would say it is the best company, aside from ours.
We're both equally as good, I think, personally.
It's like the Apple of the sleep world.
A quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnout, helps you make better decisions, improves your memory, and overall, you're going to make fewer mistakes in life if you're just getting a nice snooze in every single night. And do you know how I do that? And do you know how Ross does that? We sleep on Lisa mattresses from lisa.com/freeze.
These are legitimately the best mattresses you can buy. They're incredible. If you're in the market for a new mattress, maybe you've had yours for several years, or if you're just like, man, this mattress is not very good, I could do better, you get a big discount by going to lisa.com/freeze.
Yes.
So we're trying to help you out here. Not only are you going to get a better night's sleep with a great product from a brand that we 100% wholeheartedly endorse, but you get some money off.
And also, Lisa's a great company. They donate one mattress for every 10 sold, and they plant a tree for every mattress sold. So they're doing good. They're a very charitable organization.
People helping people.
It is people helping people. And $130 off a Lisa mattress at lisa.com/freeze.
That's $130 you can spend on a Lisa pillow, perhaps.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, these mattresses, they're going to make your life better. Think of how much time you spend every day.
Look,
in a bed.
I'm not just saying this shit. They're incredible. All right? Like, if you don't like it, bitch me out on Twitter. If you get one and you don't like it, you can bitch me out on Twitter, and I'll just take it. I'll turn the other cheek.
Wow, that's how much he likes it. lisa.com/freeze. Oh, God. Okay, next call.
Hey, it's Rob from Chicago. You remember me? A couple episodes ago. Regardless. I'm a little louder this time, but I just stopped listening to the season finale podcast about 20 minutes early because how the fuck can you not think that Ashley Stubbs is Teddy? It's Teddy. They do multiple cuts back. All right, I don't need to yell. They do multiple cuts back to Teddy. I don't remember verbatim, but I thought it was very clear that was Teddy talking to Hale Loris. Teddy Stubbs. All right, cool. Thanks, guys, for clearing everything up and making me feel more insane than I actually am.
He's talking about in season. He's not specifically talking about episode 10. I pretty quickly picked up on what he's talking about throughout the season when they finally get Teddy's body in the mesa and he's like with the other dead hosts and stuff. Like, Stubbs does take an interest in looking at Teddy quite a few times. And I think there's one time where they take him up to like the glass rooms and stuff like that. And like, he's looking at him and whatnot. So I don't know about this three. I never even thought about this. So this is actually kind of interesting, but I don't necessarily think so.
I mean, he's talking, I thought, about in the season finale, where very clearly it's not the case because Teddy is in the Valley Beyond.
Yeah.
And is he saying that Teddy was in Stubbs all season and then left Stubbs and then Stubbs came back? Like, how would that work? And yeah, I'm not too sure about this, my friend.
Yeah, I think it falls apart really easily just because we saw Dolores take his control unit, put it on the Forge computer or whatever, and it got like beamed up. And I mean, we see him in the Valley Beyond. So.
Yes. Ross?
Will you remember me?
That's all the only words I know. But stop asking as if we remember you. What's happening here? Two calls in a row?
That was not two in a row, but it's two.
Two of three?
I like it. It's a fun game.
Hey, remember me? No, it was funny, man. We laughed. You couldn't hear us, but we were laughing.
We were having a grand old time. Next call.
What's up, fellas? This is Travis from Orlando, Florida, soon to be visiting Austin, Texas. Just want to say you guys absolutely crushed it this season. Having these podcasts every week makes the show a lot easier to follow, a lot more enjoyable to follow. So job well done. I hope you get some freaking fat bonuses this year for having the best Westworld podcast available. Don't actually have a question on the show this week. Figured you guys would get a lot of those. But since I am visiting Austin this fall and throwing a bachelor party for my brother, looking for some recs, guys. Bars, breweries, music, food, your favorite late night establishments. I'm sure Ross, you can help with that one. Anything helps, guys. Just want to say again, you freaking killed it. Y'all be good in the off season. Stay clean. Later.
Okay, everybody, give this guy two recommendations.
Okay, for gentlemen's clubs, strip clubs. I don't know why I said gentlemen's club. It's because it's on front. Anyway, Palazzo. An expose. Everybody's going to want you to go to Yellow Rose. That's fine if you're trying to get weird and horny and creepy. The fun strip clubs are expose and Palazzo. As far as bars go, I don't know, man. There's so many.
It's a bachelor party. Go to Dirty. Go to Rainy.
Go
to West.
Go run around on 6th Street. Hit Rainy Street during the day for day drinking. And then go to the strip clubs at night. And I don't know, go to maybe like, when is this? When do you say?
It's in like late fall. It's in the fall.
Oh.
Like probably August. Go to Micklewaite Barbecue. Do not wait in line for Franklin unless you want to waste your entire trip.
Jared, I'll say that Micklewaite's very good, but there are plenty of options close to that level of
okay,
barbecue.
Okay, then where? Give it a
oh, one. I don't know. I'm not
oh,
like.
Oh, okay.
Then. Black's is pretty good.
We got a fuckload of barbecue if you don't.
Yeah,
you just pick,
good,
pick a spot.
Terry Black's.
Plus one on Black's.
Black's or Terry Black's, Dan? They're two different places.
Terry Black's.
Terry Black's.
You're saying Black's, though, Luke.
Oh, my bad.
Which one?
The Black's. Not,
just regular Black's.
Not Terry Black's. I'm closer to that one.
African
American, dude.
Oh, you're talking about food.
Terry Crews?
Yes.
Hey guys, it's Jack from Philadelphia, currently living in Alabama. Go Birds, Cats, and Roll Tide. I have a couple things for you guys. So does the existence of the Forge kind of explain why Ford was so good at manipulating situations? You know, you can kind of just plug stuff in and run a simulation to see how they'll react, and then he just has to manipulate the environment around it. And if you guys have a timeline clarification on the weird waterboarding scene with Charlotte torturing Bernard, was that actually Charlotte or was that Dolores? I don't know. Maybe you guys can help. Rip Stable Boy Lee, truly a hero and an inspiration to us all, and love the pod.
Jack in Philadelphia, currently living in Alabama.
We didn't even hear the call. What did he say?
Yeah, we were laughing too much. Okay, this guy said that if we wanted a timeline clarification on that weird waterboarding scene with Charlotte torturing Bernard, that was Dolores in Hale's body torturing Bernard for everything he did, I think. Yeah?
Yeah, sure. Luke?
Yeah,
thoughts?
I thought you said that on the podcast last episode, so.
Did I say that? I don't think I said that. What?
I was just always wanting to do the Micah wrap it up symbol.
So he said, does the existence of the Forge explain why Ford is so good at manipulating situations? Well, no, because I think Ford is kept out of the Forge because that's the agreement. It's like Ford stays out of the Forge and they stay out of the storylines. So I don't think Ford really has access to the information in the Forge. I think he just knows a lot about humans because he's just a smart guy. And he's, I don't think he's necessarily seen all the data on humans like Dolores has. Thoughts?
Yeah, those are running simulations for humans, not like hosts and narratives and stuff, right? So
yeah.
Ford yeah. wasn't like with that project, so I don't understand what he's getting at.
Yeah. Next call.
Hey, guys. Dave from upstate New York here. I haven't called in a few weeks. Episode 8 and 9 didn't really do it for me. I was kind of cooling on the show. Minute I saw episode 10 was 92 minutes, I was fucking pumped. I thought it was pretty solid. You know, definitely some, I don't know, I thought that, like, laser thing shooting the hosts to a place the humans could never find them was one of the fucking dumbest things I've ever seen. It just so wasn't the show to me. I don't really have a question. Just wanted to give a shout-out to you guys. You know, thank you for the podcast. I could tell you it was kind of the, you know, a staple for my week. You know, every Monday afternoon listening to it. And then a shout to the deal at Rowdy Gentleman. I spent like $80 and I've got like fucking 25 pieces of clothing. So, and hats and shit. And it's all it's probably the most comfortable sweatshirt I've ever worn. So, shouts to you guys. Shouts to that sale and, looking forward to next season. See ya.
Thank you, Dave from upstate New York. One of our largest fans. Now here's the deal. The sale that he's talking about, still going on. We're still clearing out the warehouse. $5, a ton of stuff is $5 right now. It's insane. But we also have another deal going on outside of the sale collection. Currently have 30% off site-wide, I brought it, gentlemen. This is not just, this is not the sale collection. This is our stock that we currently have that is awesome. And you can check it out at rowdygentleman.com. Use promo code HOT. For 30% off site-wide.
It's getting... I can't do it to
myself. It's getting hot in here.
Oh, I was going to do it's getting hot, 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 but that works too.
Yeah, it makes more sense, I feel like. Next call.
Hey, guys. This is Allison from Washington State. And the season finale was very full of exciting things, but I agree with intern Luke that all of the things that happened weren't the best for the plot, and that the show writers definitely wrote some things in the beginning and then forgot that they wrote them at the end. And I think that some of the ties were wrapped up really well. The whole Dolores being inhaled, that was a great move, but I do feel like they shafted the Man in Black, and instead of finishing his story arc, they were like, hey, let's keep Ed Harris for another season. And I feel like it was external things that made it so that they were going to, like, pretty much not write a conclusion to a storyline. Because in these seasons, you should be able to have a season with a full arc. And I feel like not everyone got an arc this season. So let me know, with intern Luke, if you agree. And then Ross and Jared, what you guys think. And what do you think is going to – just give us your guess of the 5 control units, please. We all want to hear your crackpot control unit theories. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Luke.
I am very happy to hear this. This is good.
Multiple this celebrations from Luke during that call. Physical celebrations.
Yeah. I wanted to throw birds out, but I didn't want to offend anyone or anything.
Don't toss the birds at us, Luke.
Yeah, I also don't want to get fired from OCC by Ross, so that's why I didn't do that.
I, honest to God, might fire you because you didn't throw birds out. So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm with her and Luke on the Men in Black situation. Basically, it feels like what they did was decide, you know what? We've got enough going on here. Let's keep Ed Harris for next season. And instead of giving his character what it deserved and what they had built toward, it flamed out.
Nope.
Fizzled.
Nope. What they did was pull a fast one on all of us and make us think we were getting a conclusion to that, when really that's still going to be going on because it's integral to what needs to happen in season 3. All wrong. You guys are all wrong.
Yeah, Jared made a good point of this, pretty sure off mic, earlier this week when we were talking about it, that essentially we had this buildup of 8.5 episodes of like arcs, and then they kind of did expectation subversion and turned everything around and he liked it. I can respect that opinion. It didn't work well for me. And then obviously Man in Black, I didn't like how it ended and things like that. So I'm glad a caller agreed with me, though.
And
so,
who are your guesses to the control units? Give. Let's go. You can't repeat. I'm going to say...
Go. You can't repeat?
No, like, you can't say the same one. We need to give...
Teddy.
No, Teddy's in the Valley Beyond. What a terrible take.
Damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it. That was bad.
Wait, we have to give different ones than each other?
Yeah. So you better say one now.
Honestly, and I'm not doing this to make my pick easy, I think they may be empty. I think they could be empty control units, like free of data, write whole new host or whatever programs. This went into my take that Dolores wasn't extremely close with anyone in the series, and so I don't know anyone who she would pull from. So I was like, she's going to craft a persona of someone that she needs. That was my original thinking. I never said it earlier this week.
Good guy, Revis.
Yeah. I'm going to say Mike. You know Mike. He was in episode 4. Luke?
Blank? Blank
Dan?
Control unit.
What if they're just all Dolores?
She just made a ton of Doloreses?
Yeah. So Dolores is in Charlotte and Dolores. She's everybody except Bernard.
Interesting. I honestly have, in all seriousness, I have no idea who is on these control units. Because you think about everybody that Dolores is close to, like, it can't be Angela. Hers got exploded. It can't be
Maeve.
Teddy. It can't be, I mean, it could be Maeve.
I mean, come on. No, we were under the impression that Maeve is taken by Sylvester and Felix to be worked on.
What if it's Craddock?
Craddock? That's a fucking serious option, though. Think about it. She didn't have that many different people she could have pulled.
And if she wants a monster, a Craddock is a monster.
For sure. And, well... Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's weird that they even showed us that, considering. There's, not a whole lot of options.
Did we see Craddock die one final time?
Yeah, Lawrence.
Yeah,
he got blown up.
Smoked.
Yeah. Great scene.
Great scene. He got blown the fuck up.
He used Dunzo. I have no fucking idea.
Guys, Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut, is back.
What's good, Famp Nation? This is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut.
Oh, second try failed.
Oh,
Mike.
You hate to see that,
Mike.
Hey, 0 for 2, Mike.
Oh, man.
He's shooting free throws like Shaq.
That's not right, Jared.
No.
Dude, Jared just flaming Mike.
I'm not flaming Mike.
He's fucking flaming him, man.
Here is Mike's real call.
What's good, Faint Nation? This is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. You know, I was gone last week, but I got to thank you guys for keeping my little game going. I'm really liking this Westworld census podcast thing. I mean, Jared and Ross are going to have to do something in the off season. So, no, guys, don't do it. It'll be bad. Plus, you'd have to update your privacy policy. Yo, Fam Nation, 40 dream shirts? That's great. That's great. I'm glad we're buying these shirts. But come on, let's show them some more support and enthusiasm. They did a very great job for 10 full weeks. Keeping us sane, maybe getting a little insane, but hey, that's half the fun, right? Look, I love being a part of the Stamp Nation. Ross, Jared, everybody involved, I want to thank you for a great season and for providing us with great entertainment and commentary. I have a couple of questions for you and also some statements. Don't be sad for the hosts, guys. I mean, we'll see them again. And the humans like Lee and Elsie, you know, they were in the park interacting with the host. So, you know, what's to say that they aren't in the forge? So maybe we'll see the humans again. A question I have for you guys, though, is about the Abernathy control unit. At the beginning of this season and the end of last season, it makes it seem like they transferred all the data into that file. But then all of a sudden it became an encryption key. What's up with that? Like, when did it become an encryption key? Why didn't they just take it out of the park? I don't know. What do you guys think? Mike Fike, Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut, out.
First off,
thank you, Mike. It was an honor to do this show for you.
It was, truly.
What's next for Ross and Jared in 2018?
TBD.
Second of all, we got plenty of shit to do. Third, I appreciate your calling over and over, even if it did result in you getting flamed publicly by Jared.
Oh, this is the running joke on the show.
I know that, Jared. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so interesting point to say that maybe the humans are still alive in the Forge, because if the Forge didn't actually get, if all the info's not destroyed, then there would be versions of, you know, Lee and...
So I wasn't clear about this.
Elsie in the park.
Is the Forge, the human Forge... Like, when we saw Bernard and Dolores venture into the... Wherever that... The digital world they were in. What was that?
That was the Forge.
The robot Forge.
No, the robot Forge is called the Cradle.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so this was the Forge they were in.
Yes.
So within the Forge, there are copies of every human they've ever been in the park.
Yeah.
Running tests on themselves and shit like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't really piece that together until literally just now.
Oh, so give me a point, Luke. Thank you. Yeah, so there could still be some Lee, some Elsie, some other dead folks. Also, we were led to believe that Abernathy's control unit contained, like, all this data. At first, we thought it was all the data on, like, the guests and shit. But it turned out to end up being a encryption key for the Forge data. I think it was like, well, if getting it out of the park, like, were they only trying to make it so that nobody else could see the data? Is that what taking the encryption key out? Because they'd want to secure it. So did he have all the Forge data inside of him too? It's hard to say.
I don't think he had the Forge data inside of him. I think he had data that hadn't been, like, transferred over yet or something like that. Like, data that was in the mesa or in the cradle or something.
Because, yeah, we do change around a lot what actually we think is inside Abernathy's head. We know it's at least an encryption key to access all the Forge data. Like, that's one thing we know it is. We don't know if it actually, how much data is contained in him. It's got to be some. At the end, when, like, he's like, holy shit, Costa's like, this file's way too big. I think that's because it contains the Valley Beyond now, which is what Dolores ends up beaming out of there.
I don't know about that.
That's
Chief.
Literally what happens. That is the plot of the show.
You think the file that gets beamed out contained the Valley Beyond as well?
That's literally what Dolores says she's sending out. She says, I'm sending them out somewhere humans will never find them.
Huh.
That's what's happening.
But I'm still not clear on her motive there, though. Why does she want to keep them somewhere?
Because she changed her mind and she wants to save them and let them live out their lives how they so choose.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression, man. I'm not saying you're wrong. Well,
that's because they didn't really build on that motivation change. And that was one of the problems with this finale.
Okay, yeah.
When she gets killed by Bernard, she still wants to kill the host and destroy the Valley Beyond because she still thinks that's a cage. And when she comes back as Dolores in Hale's body and we get to that point...
Why did she change her mind?
We get no explanation.
This newfound compassion.
Okay, so I guess
that's... Charlotte's
and
body.
That was one of the things that completely took me out of it.
I'm with you on that. That's a big issue because I didn't even get... Obviously, I was way the fuck off on this entire part of it. Like, I didn't even know that was the case that she changed her mind. I thought... I don't know what I thought.
Yeah.
But what the fuck? Like, they should have given us something to spur her change in mind.
She just said, like, you know we're capable of changing our minds or something like that.
That, I think, essentially, that's what it was. Like, that hosts are able to change their, like, core drive or whatever. Like,
that's hacky.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had already, like, gone down this road of pretty much being, like, no more decision changing. Everyone must die. To being like, nah, we'll beam them somewhere safe. Off into a...
Is it because she just saw, like, Maeve died?
And then my bigger issue with that is still that, dude, if it's a computer deal, there has to be a physical computer somewhere. Files don't just float around. I guess they do now in the cloud. Are they in the cloud?
I mean, they could have sent it to, like, some Delos satellite somewhere.
Yeah, but
like
there's got to be something somewhere that could still be destroyed to totally destroy the Valley Beyond, right? I don't know.
Last call from intern Serena.
Hey, Ross, Jared, and intern Luke. It's intern Serena. So this season of Westworld has shown me that I have an uncanny ability to somehow miss major moments but notice and remember weird pieces of dialogue from episodes past. The season finale gave us that nugget about Maeve being Ford's favorite host and the story he imagined for her. And it reminded me that back in the season premiere, when Lee almost gets munched by that cannibal host,
he turns to Maeve and says, "Did you do all this?" And she responds, "No, but I suspect I shared the sensibilities of whoever did." So not only do we now know that she met Ford, but I think this also feeds into the theory that you guys posed about Maeve taking on the Ford role in the next season. I agree that we're probably done with Ford, except in an occasional flashback, maybe, but I do think that Maeve is 100% coming back next season and that she'll sort of carry on Ford's intentions, and I wondered what you thought. I will leave it there for now, but I'm excited to be back tomorrow and actually discuss final thoughts with you guys. Thanks. Bye.
That's very interesting. I totally forgot that Maeve said that, but that makes a lot of sense, and that definitely reinforces the connection between Maeve and Ford. Luke just was like, I don't know.
Ford hadn't been, like, transferred to her at that point yet, though.
Yeah, but him being transferred to her didn't do anything. She was just commenting on the fact that her and Ford are very similar.
Okay.
And then, yes, what Serena was saying, she will be back tomorrow for our season 2 recap episode, which will be the last episode of FAMP for season 2, which is going to be a sad time. It's going to be sad to leave you guys, but, you know, we'll be back. We got one more.
We will remember you.
Da-ba-da-da-da.
Luke, what were you saying, Luke? Bit. Sing a little bit.
We no. will remember you.
Thank you, Luke.
La da 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 da.
Oh, that was worth it. I was about to ask, hey, man, is intern Serena okay? You didn't play a call from her this week. Usually she's first, so I'm really glad she was last because it started to get a little worrisome.
Yeah, you know. Tweet at us, DM us, leave comments. We will respond to you. I'm at Jared Borislow on everything. Ross is at WR Bolin on everything. We are at Freeze All Motor on Twitter and at Freeze All Motor Functions on Instagram. Intern Luke, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Are you going to be here on Thursday or no?
Yeah.
Are you going to produce?
Yeah, I'll produce.
Tight, we'll see you then. Dope. One more thing before you get into the NPR style sign-off. You haven't started it, right?
No.
Okay, our Game of Thrones podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. Subscribe to it if you watch Game of Thrones. Also the Ross Bolin podcast. Thank you.
Freeze All Motor Functions is brought to you by Grandex Media and hosted by me, Jared Borislow, along with Ross Bolin. Producer Dan produced the show. Special thanks to Phil from DC, a.k.a. Schnapple, on SoundCloud for our intro music, Brad Hess for our outro music, and intern Serena, who does insanely awesome Westworld-themed Photoshop work for us that you can check out on our Twitter, at Freeze Motor, and Instagram, at Freeze Motor Functions. We'll see you tomorrow for our Season 2 recap. Motor functions.